I remember all you've done for me, yeah. Your perfect sacrifice is a victory won, Lord, yeah. I remember all for me. Oh, Lord, I worship you today. Come on, somebody, go ahead and worship your Father. Worship your Father with your own words. Oh, Manesh, with the lifting of our hands, Father, we worship. Woo! Nothing else we can do but worship. Let the lifting of your hands be like an evening sacrifice. It is acceptable before Him. Lift your hands and worship the Father.
I worship, oh God. I worship you, Lord, yes. One more time. I remember all you've done. He's done so much for you, you can declare your worship. His perfect sacrifice, a victory, yeah. I remember all you've done for me, oh Lord. I worship you today. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Come on. Proclaiming, Lord, you reign. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaiming, Lord, you reign. Everywhere you are, come on, declare it. Oh, Lord. With a grateful heart, I lift my hand to you. Proclaiming, Lord, you reign. One more time. With a grateful heart, with
a grateful heart, I lift my
hands. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. And you're welcome to a new month, August. I believe your month, last month was good, July. And yes, I want to welcome you to a new month, the month of August. And I know that it gets better and better. It gets better and better because the path of a righteous is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter to a perfect day. But before we go on, let's pray. Let's energize and edify ourselves. Let's open our Bibles to Jude 20. I read from here. It says, "But you, beloved," I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. Pray in the Holy Spirit." I read again. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. Pray in the Holy Spirit." Let's open to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. It says, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning. But by the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, secret truths, hidden things." Then verse 4. Verse 4 here says, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church, promotes growth in spiritual wisdom, devotion, holiness, and joy." But it's the part A. Verse 4, part A says, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." I want us to edify ourselves as we start this service today. Just edify yourself. Pray unto God. Edify yourself. Edify your spirit man. Edification means build up. You edify yourself. You charge up yourself. You charge up your spirit man. It says, "But he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." In the spirit, he speaks hidden truths. Can somebody just edify himself in the spirit? Can you just edify yourself in the spirit? I am charged up. I am edified. I am edified. Mandolo godoso, mandolo godoso. Kina dibra andala gadibre gedogo logodoso, ibro godoso, ibro godoso, monvro hokto logodiva bodiege legedibra andala gadibre gedoso vidisa, kora badasa, mina nadib acta lagadisa, mina nedege legedibra andolo godibro godogo logodo, movo bodoso, ire ecte legedese, bebediege legedibra andolo godibre gedoso vidisa, igna daga lagada, igna acta libra hacto. Logodibra gadaga lagada, mo bobodoso, igro godogo logodoso. I speak not unto man, but I speak unto God. And as I speak unto God, I edify myself, I charge up myself, I build up myself. Mondo logodo, mondo libra hakta lagadibre gede, menenedese, vodo libra hakta lila kalia, mondo logodibra hokto logodoso, ibobodoso. I build up myself on my most holy faith. I make progress. I rise like an edifice. I build up myself. I charge up myself. I edify myself on my most holy faith. I make progress. I rise higher and higher like an edifice. Irata lagada. Mando libre hecte legedibro godo. Mondo no no doso. Mondo no do no no libre hecte legedibro godo. Ibagadasa, Babadiege legede, Mende legedibre, Ecto logodibre, Gedos vedisa. I am edified.
I am built up. I am built up. I am more sensitive. My spirit man is sharper. My spirit man is more sensitive to receive from God in the name of Jesus. Kira dosa, kira dosa, kira dibra hakta lagadibre gados vedisa, igra gadaga lagadibre gados vedisa. I am in tune. I am in tune. I am in tune. I am in tune to God. I am in tune to God. Mondo logodoso, mondo logodoso. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen and amen. Can we just one more thing? Let's pray for today's service. Then also we pray for ourselves. That today's service there is utterance and the word of God is spoken to us directly in the name of Jesus. By the reason of the word, I am transformed. Just say it to yourself. That by the reason of what God is going to be saying to me and to you today, that we are transformed in the name of Jesus. We are built up in the name of Jesus because there is utterance. His word comes expressly to us, to our hearts in the name of Jesus. And we receive revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus. We know what to do. We know how to do it. We know where to do it and with whom to do it. And we don't just know, but we do what to do. We do it, how to do it. We do it with whom to do it. We do it where to do it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you because your word empowers us. Your word strengthens us. Your word builds us up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory because today's service will be impactful in the name of Jesus. It will be transforming in the name of Jesus. And our lives will change for better. Will change for better in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. I want to welcome you to today's service once again. Just get yourself prepared. Let your heart be open to receive more from God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, everybody, wherever you are this morning, I want you to just take some minutes to lift your hands to God. Just lift it up to Him. It doesn't hurt, it won't hurt. Just worship Him, reverence Him. King of glory, we love you this morning. Just love upon Him. Father, we love, we bless you, we praise you. We honor you. We give you praise this morning. Scripture says that when we do it in other tongues, we do it better. Go ahead and worship Him in other tongues this morning. Woo! Mane garabado shagara ye nanaya. Shagara ye nanaya. Lehi garabo shuntali ye nana. Yerarabo shandeli barosha. Makatili bradosha kataya la bandra ligedosha. Precious Jesus, I thank you for your blood. Precious Jesus, I thank you for your body broken for me. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, I thank you for your body broken for me. I remember all you've done for me. Your perfect sacrifice and victory. I remember what you've done for me. Oh my God, I worship you today. I worship you. today. Let me hear you say it one more time. I remember what you've done for me. Your perfect sacrifice and victory. Today, oh, I worship you today. Say it out loud. I worship you today. I worship you today. With my hands lifted, I give my praise to you, God. Hey, today. You are the confidence that I got, the strength. Ina anta tele bara kasi pradosha da da daza ikele da da dosha da ya da 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 ya ina taya na na dosha kataye ina ne le bosha gaya da ba na 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 ina ne sa ina da da dosha we
Thank you, Lord. We give praise to your name. We honor you. It's always so wonderful to fellowship together with the brethren. It's always so great to acknowledge in the midst of the congregation, and as much as we're not physically together, we're spiritually together. And we thank you because our hearts exalt you, our minds think of you, and we're excited by the great things you've done for us in Christ and the wonderful things you do for us through the work of your Spirit, even in the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you because you have clarity, illumination, and understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, we began on Wednesday talking about the importance of being led by the Spirit, and we cannot overemphasize the topic. We can't say we've heard a lot of it or enough of it already. I've heard these kinds of teachings for over 20 years of my life now, and I'll be very candid with you. It's still important. You don't outgrow these kinds of teachings. You always go through them again and again. And like I said on Wednesday, maturity for us as believers is not when we now say, well, we've heard something before, and then we just push it aside. No, experts, all right? Don't become experts all because they learn big things, but because they don't miss the minor, teeny-meeny details. And that's what you and I are going to keep learning. So, us learning that, hey, we got to have to consistently, right, improve our ability to hear well from God and act on what He's saying. We can't overstretch it. So, please, I would like to ask. I know I might not get an immediate response, but if you want to drop a comment, all right, on the platform where you're listening, it's much appreciated. The Kenneth Hagin teaching, hope you've heard it now, because right after service today, the leaders will be communicating. Another classic, trust me, solid Kenneth Hagin teaching that will greatly, greatly bless you. I remember putting this one to a sharing on repeat many, many years ago. I would sincerely say it's one of the teachings that grew me. I mean, I listened to quite a number of Kenneth Hagin messages growing up, but there were those that stood out for me. And this one we're going to listen to is titled, How to Train the Human Spirit. It is a classic. There were days that I knew I played it first thing in the morning. And I'm talking about over 15, almost like 20 years ago. All right, like first thing in the morning. When you hear it, you don't understand why, right? And I believe it just adds to what we've listened to in the last 2 weeks. And I'm choosing to believe, all right, that most of us have given attention to what we listened to in the last week. So we're looking at the importance of being led. We cannot overstretch it. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we see a classic case of David and his teammates, right, his men, getting back home to their camp, and then the place burnt, wives and children captured. And what do they do? Question is, what do you do? If you worry about it, it doesn't solve the problem. You're going to lose your appetite, lose your sleep, lose everything about yourself, but you just might not get direction. So one thing we see in David's case was he got direction. And we see the key. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and Bible teaches us constantly about joy. Is it easy? No, it's not. But it's what we need to do. Listen, there have been very many instances where not worrying really will make you look like you're irresponsible. How can you say you won't worry about it? How can they say they haven't found someone for a couple of days and then you're not bothered? Nobody's saying you're not bothered. But you are saying you've learned from the scriptures that you should cast your cares upon the Lord. You throw your care. You throw your anxiety. Not like, I'm not interested. Wherever they are, they, you know, let me. David wasn't saying, well, wherever my wife and my wives are, wherever they are, they are busy. No, that's not the attitude. Some folks haven't well understood the teaching of God's word, that they interpret what they hear from how they think the person is speaking. Right? So Jesus, for instance, in John chapter 3, told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, how can someone enter into his mother's womb and be born? Now, he got the point that Jesus was referring to an actual birth, but he thought Jesus was referring to an actual physical birth. He missed it there. So when sometimes someone teaches or preaches and talks about love work, someone says, me, I'm not a fool. Yeah, I understand the application of love that might almost make it seem that way. And really, if you don't understand that love has judgment, love has wisdom, all right, you would almost really also act out the foolish, as it were, side of, oh, well, it's just love work. No, love operates by faith. Love operates with hope, right? Love has wisdom and discernment, okay? Love has all of that. Jesus loved the Pharisees, but he had confronted them. He loved all people. He came because of everybody. Please understand that. But he had to confront religion. So you must understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, but I want to beg you. We need to give attention to the study of God's word and reduce assumptions as best as we can. So David did not say, well, I don't care where they are. Someone get me a jug of wine. Let me drink. I just want to drink and forget about my family. That's not what David was doing. No. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David was telling himself, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Hope you know he said that in the Psalms. All right, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget whatever I needed to do. All right, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. These are things in the Psalms that show David's attitude in crisis moment. Please understand that. Remember, you know, Bible says, I've been young and I'm old. I'm 34. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or receive bread. Have you read David's story before? Do you know there were times that David was seemingly like homeless? Like homeless. He ran away from Saul. There was time he ran away from his own son. David had to be like a mad person before. David had to go ask for food, all right? Him and his men had to eat the shoe bread in the temple. David had to, you know, remember the case of Nabal and Abigail. How that they asked, oh, we've been taking care of your sheep, protecting your guys. All right, tell us something. And Nabal, you know, talked funny. And Abigail said, hey, my son doesn't know how to talk. He's, you know, this is food. So you find that David had moments where he needed stuff. He needed supplies. But David would still not allow his experiences to define how he sees God. We see him crying and weeping and say, my soul is hungry. My soul is dry. I'm dried up even unto my bones. But then the whole thing doesn't end until, he switches back to praising and thanking God and acknowledging him. And he's saying, oh God, see what they've done to me. Break their enemy. Break the teeth of my enemies, oh God. I mean, we read the Psalms. It's quite interesting, but it just shows you, all right, the humanity of David and then the prophetic side of David. And you see all of that in reading. And like, oh my goodness, this man switched. So David, once again, wasn't not caring about his wife. David wasn't not caring about the state of the wives or children of his teammates. But David needed to get himself into position because maybe in knowing through, reading through scripture, knowing the scriptures, David realized that God doesn't enjoy murmuring. They murmured against God in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, and they perished. And the Bible tells us that in Corinthians, hey, that we should learn from them. So David might have seen that, hey, murmuring won't work right. Murmuring won't work well. So we've got to, you know, put our trust in God. So David says, I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. I am encouraging myself in the Lord. I am encouraging myself in the Lord. I choose to encourage myself in life. I choose to, you know, put my hope and put my trust and put all I've got to the Lord. So David did a lot of that, you know, and just kept on trusting. Praise God. Now I want us to read a story, all right? So we're going to go to 1 Kings and then see what chapter now. So now let's go to 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, right? I want us to read quite an interesting story. If you remember in 1 Samuel 30, we talked about David having to stop over or stop by meeting the Egyptian. But I said something on Wednesday. I said even when you don't have time to stop or do anything, you need to, all right? Be polite about it. Because there are times when God says, just go and keep going. Don't look left, don't look right, head on, head straight, face where I told you to go. I need us to read this story in 1 Kings 13 and I'm doing that to bring a larger perspective, a fuller perspective to there are times when there's a strict command. All right? David didn't have a command of don't talk to anybody. So you have to know when your bowels of compassion are moving in someone's direction. Doesn't mean, okay, you're about to catch a fly and someone says, can we talk? I'm about to catch a fly. It might be, okay, can I get back to you? Or can I? There's what to do, all right? I know you know that. So 1 Kings and the 13th chapter of 1 Kings, speaking from the first verse, and allow me to read from the NLT. Just makes the English quite simple. And please, I want you to follow this thing. So 1 Kings 13 from verse 1 says, at the Lord's command, a man of God from Judah went to Bethel, arriving there just as Jeroboam was approaching the altar to burn incense. Then at the Lord's command, he shouted, O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A child named Josiah, right, will be born into the dynasty of David. On you, that's the altar, he will sacrifice the priests from the pagan shrines who come here to burn incense, and human bones will be burned on you. The same day, the man of God gave a sign, all right, to prove his message. He said, the Lord has promised to give this sign. This altar will split apart, and its ashes will be poured out on the ground. When King Jeroboam heard the man of God speaking against the altar at Bethel, he pointed out and shouted, seize that man! But instantly the king's hand became paralyzed in that position and he couldn't pull it back. At the same time, a wide crack appeared in the altar and the ashes poured out, just as a man of God had predicted in his message from the Lord. The king cried out to the man of God, please ask the Lord your God to restore my hand again. So the man of God prayed to the Lord, and the king's hand was restored, and he could move it again. Then the king said to the man of God, come to the palace with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift. But the man of God said to the king, even if you were to give me, or even if you gave me half of everything you own, I will not go with you. I will not eat or drink anything in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you're there. And do not return to Judah by the same way you came. So he left Bethel and went home another way. As this happened, there was an old prophet living in Bethel, and his sons came and, you know, came home and told him that the man of God, told him what the man of God had done in Bethel that day. They also told their father what the man of God said to the king. The old prophet asked them, which way did he go? So they showed their father which road the man of God had taken. Quick, saddle the donkey, the old man said. So they saddled the donkey for him and he mounted it. Then he rode after the man of God and found him sitting under a great tree. The old prophet asked him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? Yes, I am, he replied. Then he said to the man of God, come home with me and eat some food. No, I cannot, he replied. I am not allowed to eat or drink anything here in this place. For the Lord gave me this command, you must not eat or drink anything while you're there, and do not return to Judah by the same way you came. So the prophet had to tell him, hey, I mean, you need to see this story. But let me pick it again from the previous verse. So, no, I cannot, he replied. I'm not allowed to eat or drink anything here in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you're here. Do not return to Judah by the same way you came. But look at verse 18. But the old prophet answered, I am a prophet too, just as you are. And an angel gave me this command from the Lord. Bring him home with you so he can have something to eat and drink. But the old man was lying to him. So they went back together, and the man of God ate and drank at the prophet's place. Is it catching your attention, please? Just for it gets more interesting. All right, verse 20. Then while they were sitting at the table, a command from the Lord came to the old prophet. He cried out to the man of God from Judah. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have disobeyed the command that the Lord gave you. You came back to this place and ate and drank where he told you not to eat or drink. Because of this, your body will not be buried in the grave of your ancestors. Let's keep reading. I mean, it's an interesting story, a lot to learn. After the man of God finished eating, we still finished his food. After the man of God finished eating and drinking, the old prophet saddled his donkey for him, and the man of God started off again. Right? But as he was traveling along, a lion came out and killed him. His body lay there on the road, you know, with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. That is miraculous. The lion didn't kill the donkey. The lion just stayed beside the donkey. People who passed by saw the body lying on the road and the lion standing beside it, and they went and reported it in Bethel, where the old prophet lived. When the prophet heard the report, he said, it is a man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord had fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack and kill him. Then the prophet said to his son, saddle a donkey for me. So they saddled a donkey, and he went out and found the body lying on the ground, the donkey and the lion still standing there beside it. For the lion had not eaten the body, nor attacked the donkey. The lion just fulfilled his mission and posed. So the prophet laid the body of the man of God on the donkey and took it back to his town to mourn over him and bury him. He laid the body in his own grave, crying out in grief, oh, my brother. Afterward, the prophet said to his sons, when I die, Bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the message the Lord told him to proclaim against the altar in Bethel and against the pagan shrines in the towns of Samaria will surely, certainly come to pass. Wow, all right. Maybe you might need a few seconds to cool off. I guess they are still fuming against this old prophet. But don't let that distract you. Let it teach you something, all right? If you've been around for a while or you heard me teach, you'd always hear me say, I'd rather stand before God and say, I missed your plans for my life because I sincerely thought that's what you'd have me do. All right? I wouldn't want to stand before God and say, I thought that someone told me that's what you wanted me to do. I mean, it just questions my growth and yours. Don't say, well, I'm a baby Christian. Thank God I'm not a preacher. Thank God. No. You can be baby Christian 5 years ago and then you're still saying you're a baby Christian now and then you still want to be a baby Christian 5 years from now. No, you've got to want to grow. And one of the areas of growth is your ability to hear and act on what God is asking you to do. All right? You must, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So you and I have to give attention to hearing. What if we miss it? It's okay. Get it right. Move on. The sad part of this story is this young man began fine. All right, he knocked off the king's request. So he wasn't moved by money. All right, he was moved by honor. He was moved by respect. All right, so he didn't move at the king's request for him to follow him home. He didn't even move at the old prophet's request. He moved when the old prophet said, well, an angel said I should tell you. He could have said, well, you know, let the angel come and tell me. There's just something beautiful about learning to hear God and then learning to hear God for yourself. Because at the end of the day, when something goes wrong, it's in your life it goes wrong. Do you understand? I'm not saying that to now sound like scary. I'm only saying we've got to know what God is saying. Kenneth Hagin, you know, talked about when, you know, people are having like tent meetings. Tents are like canopies, right? But they are big. They could see thousands of people depending on the size of the meeting you're trying to have. So people are having tent meetings, you know. And then the Lord said to him, don't have tent meetings, preach from church to church, hold meetings within churches. All right? He said he did that for the space of 2 years. And within those 2 years, every church he went to preach, about two people would get up and say, thus saith the Lord, Brother Hagin, go and have tent meetings. Don't do church to church. Now, some would have said, could they all be right? And I'm wrong. There's a time when that might seem to fit, but it can't fit on matters of you know what you heard. What have you heard? Please, and that's why we said, okay, listen to the Kenneth Hagin teaching. Let him help you. Let him prove you. There are instructions there. There are things you and I will do that will get us better in hearing from God again and again. What are you hearing? What are you spending at, you know, if you see too much on what the media says, listen, you could be so current with media, you're not current with God's plans for your life. That is still in error. You could be so current with the latest movies, current with the latest meals and latest dance steps and latest song. Are you current on what heaven is saying to you now? That's what's important. That's what matters to every one of us. For as many, Romans chapter 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, this, you know, sad case here, it applies in almost every day. There are different things that swear. And I've had to say it's okay for it to be the norm to ask, have you prayed about it? Are you led in this direction? What's the Lord telling you here? Let's ask ourselves. And if nobody's asking you, ask yourself. Are you led in this direction? Is God ministering to you in this way? Ask. Ask. You know, there's a dear, you know, man of God, Phil Harvesting. He's gone on to be, you know, way, like many years ago, but quite respected by, you know, a number of the Word of Faith big names, you know. And then it was Kenneth Hagin and his wife sometime. And then Hagin wanted him to do something. And he said to Kenneth Hagin, I need to go pray about it. You know, Kenneth Hagin's wife, Aretha, was like, Like, my husband actually do something. You want to go pray? My husband was praying about it, but he actually do something. And the man was sincere to say, well, no matter what, I'm still going to pray about it. And that's how we're brought up. And even Kenneth Hagin would encourage you to do that. I mean, what's God saying? Because listen now, you could be led by the Spirit. You could be led by yourself. You could be led by others. Others now, let's just make it circumstances, finance, you know, whatever it is, pressure, All right, people saying, oh, that's what we think. Now, some are strong with, listen, I can't believe anybody else. I already know what I would use my life for. We're not teaching you to lead yourself. You're a sheep. You are someone's sheep. All right? So that means you've got a shepherd, and then he's not the one behind you. He's the one in front of you. You are following him. So what's Reverend Keith Moore? You know, that said some people get mad, you know, that he's not doing the things they want him to do. He said, I don't even do the things I want to do. I don't even do the things I want to do. No. You know? I mean, I was talking to someone not too long ago, you know, because people could say, this teaching ministry you're in, you could have an opportunity of just traveling from place to place. If you leave me all by myself, I'll stay at home for a whole week or more. I could stay at home for a whole month. I'm fine. So I'm an adventurous person. I like to travel. Hey, and so that's why I go. So we need to be careful with what's your passion. What are things you're good at? While that might sometimes help, some other times it could be in error. Alright? Yeah, you say I'd love to teach. I didn't start loving to teach. I realized that I teach and I just have a spiritual fulfillment about it. Yeah, that pays off for me. So, it could be a point that I understand that. But I'm saying some other time, it could be an error. Because you say, the traveling person who likes to go from places should be the evangelist. No, the evangelist that have just, if I just use that word, they're melancholy. They're just on their own. Not melancholy, the word for sadness, just that temperament out of, just introverted. So calling is a calling. Is God, listen, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. Most of our personality traits were piqued by association, environment, and diverse other things. Before you were formed and you showed up out of your mother's womb, God already put the call upon your life. So that call cannot be 100% based on a personality that was human influence. Please put this thing in proper perspective. Alright? So we think, the very blunt people should be the prophets, and the very whatever should be this, and then the very teary, cry, you know, loving everybody should be the pastors. And so we now use personalities that could have been affected. Someone could have been hurt. Alright? Or whatever. And then it forms the person's paradigm, or perspective, or outlook, or approach, or behavior, and all of that. And then we now formulate the person's calling from something that came up like 17 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, whereas God had put a call upon that person like before that person came out of the mother's womb. Before the nurses that pulled you out ever saw you or touched you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. There's such a thing as being led by the Spirit. And there's such a thing about as to giving more and more attention to the leadings of the Spirit. To develop that sensitivity. And like you would have heard in that teaching, give attention to the Word of God. Listen more. Study God's Word. Give attention to it. Pray in tongues a lot more. Please. Pray in tongues a lot more. Please. Pray in tongues a lot more. Alright? And then, walk in love. It keeps your tender conscience. Many other things there, but I just usually like those three. Just encapsulate a whole lot. If you haven't listened to it, please do. But like I said, right after service, another message is going to be communicated to all of us. Nothing short from this to like 3-4 messages in the whole of this new week coming up. I really want to beg you. I really want to beg you. Because there are things that will happen in your life, my life, all right, and God could give instructions. I remember the first time I was privileged to go to the U.S. I went for a Kenneth Copeland meeting in a place called Branson in Missouri, all right, and then it was clear in my heart. Face the meeting, get back. I mean, my first time in the U.S. I should have a number of people I want to go visit. Face the meeting, get back. I had to make a few calls, you know, while I was there and call say, you're here? Are you stopping over? Oh, no, sir. In some instances, because there were senior ministers also involved. You know, in some cases, I had to explain that, and you can't just say, God told me, you know. You have to explain, all right? From the moment the trip began, I just sense in my heart that I should just come here and get back home immediately. You know, I know there will be other, you know, opportunities. No problem. I just thought we would see. I don't mind not seeing. I look forward to it. But not this trip. You must understand what God's saying. Obviously, I mean, many things. You can read the story like again and again and pick out a couple of points there. Maybe I'll ask you to. Please, 1 Kings 13. Another thing could be, has this happened to you? You were very clear that this is what God said. First person talked to you. Second person talked to you. third person talk to you, fourth person talk to you, maybe they even get to the third person. And then you start feeling, maybe God didn't really save. You know, that thing is not as heavy as the first time I felt it. Those impressions we get from God don't always have to stay heavy. No. It came, you know, you heard God. If you feel it's vanishing, God won't keep a heavy hand on you. You could ask, Lord, I don't feel that way anymore. Anything? But sometimes that's that switch moment for most of us. And I understand because I've been there. It's not the way I felt it. So maybe it's changed from a red light now to a green light. Maybe I should take the step. If you would attend that, I would beg you, please. Keep an open heart. Check things as you go. I beg you, please. Keep an open heart. Check things as you go. Please understand this. All right? Because you and I can look through again and learn. Someone you respect. I mean, we used to say this when we're younger Christians. How that sometimes a very spiritual brother, church brother, walks up to a sister and just says, the Lord told me it's you. Sister won't even want to pray about it. As in, like, could he miss it? I don't think so. Or how in some cases was a lady, maybe the sister was known, you know, as a prayer sister in the fellowship, all right, or the prophecy mama, and all those kinds of stuff. And then she starts flying around that while she was praying was brother such and such that she received as her husband. You know, that's how we used to say then, received. You know, I've received my wife, I've received my husband. And then you receive. And then you hear stuff. So I just feel, she must have heard God. She can't miss it. So there are many things we learn from this, because that's, you're just, the world might not be intimidated. You just throw away your own convictions because someone you put in a more spiritual place seems to have picked something. There's nothing wrong in saying, sir, I'd like to pray about it. Ma, I'd like to pray about it. And please, all right, pray about it. Pray about it. Jerry Savelle, there's this book, Footsteps of a Prophet. If you could get it, please read it. It will bless you. Please. All right, Jerry Savelle, Reverend Jerry Savelle, Dr. Jerry Savelle. All right, Doctor of Divinity, that is. All right, so that was 1969. Kenneth Copeland came to preach at their church. All right, and then the first set of times Copeland came, he wasn't open to preachers. All these people just want your money and all. You know, and then the word so blessed him. Kenneth Copeland was a different kind of preacher and all of that. Then Kenneth Copeland came back again, and then this time around was closer to the front seat. I mean, or maybe front seat, like listening, taking notes. And so Kenneth Copeland walked up and said, while I was preparing for the meeting, the Lord said I should tell you that he has called you and I to be a team. But it didn't end there. So Kenneth Copeland said, so you pray about it. It's up to you to know the time and how it's all going to be. Guys, that was 1969. This is 2020. Sorry, forgive me. 2020. And Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle are still like this. Whoa. They are supernatural relationships. Don't tell me those relationships might not ever have been tested. Now, God might have given you such a clear word, but you have a witness about certain things. You guard, you protect. You need to read that book, Footsteps of the Prophet. That's one place where I learned you can't be in a place where they are talking against your pastor or your man of God and sit down there and just, No. I mean, it's hard to tell people like that, sorry, excuse me, I can't be here when you're doing that. I shouldn't be here. It's just honor. It's just honor. It's not well, it's fact, they're saying. It's not fact. If it is fact, they should call the person they are talking about, sit the person there, and say, sir, we have one, two, or three allegations, and we'd like to discuss them with you. Alright, Bible says, do not bring any accusation against an elder except before two or three witnesses. It is in the Bible. Paul wrote it to Timothy. So you don't talk behind the person. The Bible says don't bring any accusation against an elder except in front of two or three witnesses. There should be people there. Also, I would like to discuss this matter. And don't come from a confrontational point of view, because there are always perspectives. Let the person hear an answer. Give the person an opportunity. I know people that have been accused before, they were really wrong and it was right. I know people that have been accused before and there was no, you know, sometimes you got to say there is no smoke without fire. This one, there was no fire. There was no smoke. There was no wood. There was no matches. There was nothing. Some people just came from elsewhere and just formulated an entire story that just didn't have any base. But how do you know? If you don't give the person an opportunity to explain. And we have to learn that love work. If you remember that, if you have something against someone, call the person. Alright? Do your best to do that. Alright? Then talk to someone else, call someone else. Oh no. But what's it? There are many things to learn here. Just keep reading. Just, Lord, wow. And don't get carried away just feeling bad about the old man. But one thing to learn is this. So God spoke to the young man of God. Then the old prophet came, told him a lie. We see judgment upon the young prophet, instant judgment. But you and I don't now have the benefit of the record to know what happened to the old prophet. So sometimes someone could come into your life, almost sidetrack you, and move away. It's your story that gets affected. The person can now say, see the man repenting. Oh, my brother. And then he did burial for the young prophet. He might have sorted himself out with God, but he just terminated the young man's life. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? There are cases where, you know, I've had to say, I sense, you know, the call to ministry here and there. I mean, I've said a little more in some cases. I'm careful there, but I know maybe a few places I must have said a little more, but I'm careful. But you would have still heard me say, while I was on campus, when my friends say I'm called to pastor, I'll tell them no. I didn't tell them no because I didn't want ministry. I knew I was going to do ministry. I couldn't avoid it. But I'd not heard from God yet about pastoring. So I was being careful about that. I'm known as called to teach, which all of you see is still what I'm doing largely till now. I know I'm called to teach. All right? The assignment God gave me is getting clearer now that it's like over 20 years. What's God telling you? What are the clear commands? What are the commands that are not clear? But how are you even trying to get better with hearing from God? Because if you try to live your life on the surface with too many carnal things in your head, carnal things every day, you won't pick the depths of the spirit like you should. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll pick it from the 9th verse. Alright, you have heard me teach that a couple of times, and yes, I'm going to teach it again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9, using the King James, he says, eyes have not seen, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor hear heard, neither as it entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So now, verse 10 here is where I'm going. It says, but the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That means there are deep things where God is concerned. There are deep sides to God. So let's try and do a play on word here. Alright. So if there are deep sides, then there will be shallow sides. And it says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. So you and the Spirit must be in constant communion for you to know what those deep things are. You've heard Ken Hagin, even in that teaching, alright, talk about a business person. Another brother came to give him a business idea, brought someone to him, and then he got into it, and for 2 years now he's still trying to settle the bill. The idea sounded good. Those are the shallow sides. You can't get the depths of God staying in shallow water. You cannot get the depths of God staying in shallow water. You've got to dive deep into the things of the Spirit. In prayer, in meditations, in times of aloneness with Him. You've got to dive deep. So if only the businessman in that case had been like the other businessman, if you've ever read How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, the other businessman that Ken Hagin said always talked about the fact that he had never lost a dime in business. Said no matter how great the business idea is, he tells them, give me 3 days, I'll get back to you. If you tell him no right now, you need to make sure, he'll tell them, take away the deal. I'm not interested. Because the man has realized, listen, I began my business from how much? It's grown to this much. It grew by God leading me. I'm not wise in all myself. I follow the wisdom of God. So nobody will come and pour sand in my garage now and just come and rush me. And that, you know, yes, I mean, there are times I say, oh, let's just jump in. It's fine. Yes, it works. But when you hear a story like the one Ken Hagin tells about this businessman that never lost a dime, it tells you that really, in the kingdom, all right, it's not win some, lose some. So no matter how people try to drum that in your head, you will continue to meditate on darkness. Jesus in John chapter 8 verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Anybody that follows me will never walk in the darkness, will have the light of life. Nobody who sees clearly stumbles during the day. Alright, so we don't train our children. Growing up, our parents never trained us to say, well, no matter how bright it is, or you will still be kicking stone, or you one leg will hit stone, one leg will not hit stone. One leg will hit stone, one leg. You know, that why you feel what kind of life is that when my eyes are open and it's bright. That's what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. John chapter 8 verse 12. Anybody that follows me will not walk in darkness, will not stumble in the dark, but will have the light of life. So you and I shouldn't plan to stumble. Oh, but don't we win some and lose some? Yes, we do, not because that is the best of God. So don't make it your mantra. Don't follow other people and say, it's just like Isaiah 55. Your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. God didn't say that that's how it's supposed to be. He's saying that, well, that is what it is. But he's now saying, so I give you my word to step up. So you could say, I mean, so far, win some, lose some, but I want to win all as the Lord leads me. Oh, come on now. You put now start again. No, David never lost a battle. So David in the Bible didn't have a win some, lose some. Never, never, ever lost a battle. Alright, and you and I know that the one that Joshua lost was the battle of Ai. Alright, because of Achan. That was them, someone outrightly disowned. Not because Joshua himself doesn't lose. Please understand, listen, God has raised people that have a track record of success. And Joshua was told by God in Joshua chapter 1, if you meditate day and night, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. So Joshua had a track record of success, not win some, lose some. David had a track record of success, and David also said, you meditate day and night, and then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruits in your season. Your leaves will never wither. Whatever you do will prosper. These men had a track record of success. David never lost a battle. Joshua lost Ai, and that was all. So guys, don't copy. Don't be conformed to this world. Oh, but I know solid people in my career. They say sometimes this happens, sometimes that happens. I know some people in the kind of business I do. Oh, there's gluts, there's this season, there's that season. Come on, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. While you might experience gluts and nobody's buying this season, and this is happening and nobody's things moves, moving faster in this season. While that is going on in the natural, keep your attention not on that. Don't make that your confession. Don't make that your meditation. Make the word of God your confession. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaves will never wither. Anything I do will prosper. They will realize that just as God, through Joseph, ensured that Egypt was sustained through famine, God will make sure that your business is sustained even when people don't have. First year might not seem like that. Second year might not seem like that. Third year might not seem like that, but you maintain your confession. You don't fear their fear. You don't say confederacy when they say confederacy. You maintain that when they say there's a casting down in this business, me, I say there's a lifting up. You stay with the word. You stay. You've got to stay with the word. You've got to like really, really dig this thing. Please understand it. Don't. I repeat, please. Please, don't. Join people in saying we win some, lose some. That is life. That's human life. That's human life without the help of God. That's human life without the leading of the Spirit. But I'm not led yet. Don't you want to? Would you remain not led yet for the rest of your life? No, now. I still don't get it 100%, but my confession is we cuckoo don't hear God well. No. We speak where we're going. We declare what we want because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You don't say what you have. You don't speak death. You speak life. You say, oh, I hear God. He is my shepherd. I'm his sheep. I hear his voice. The voice of strangers I don't follow. That's what you will say. The next move you make again might be one horrible blunder. You repent. You change your ways immediately. While you maintain, thank you because I'm sensitive. And then you keep grooming and training yourself. You keep training yourself. I mean, Kenny Hagin told this story, not in that teaching though. All right, he kept driving with his wife and just kept feeling like, you know, kept having a flash of someone, you know, thrown out of the windshield of a car. All right, so he had to make sure that throughout that journey, he used his seatbelt. Throughout the journey. So he kept feeling, someone's going to throw out the car, someone's going to throw out the car, someone's going to throw out the car. I think it was the evening or the following day, he got a call. All right, I think his sister or niece or someone, there was an accident, a person was flung through the car shield. That means you could pick something and think it's me, and then it's just someone close by. All right? But when that happens, okay, I missed it. How did I, what do I do next time? How do I get it better? We all get better. I could tell you my blunders. Oh, dear Lord, you feel for me. You know, but we don't sit down and then build monuments over the blunders. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let's forge ahead. The path of the just is a shining light that gets brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. You and I forge ahead. You and I keep going. We keep glowing. We keep moving. We keep pushing. So many things to learn from this. Now, so in this 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I like the 10th verse, but I want us to see the 11th now and the 12th verses. Okay, so I'll pick the NLT here. It says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So you have your spirit, you have God's spirit, you have your thoughts, you have God's thoughts. Verse 12 says, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. How would you know? You now have the spirit. So you and the spirit of God now spend time in relationship. Now spend time communing. Let me switch here to the message translation. I need to read something out here. So the message translation now tells us that we don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we are passing it to you in the self-same, first-hand, personal way. The unspiritual self, now verse 14, all right, down to 16. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. I like this part now. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. Guys, the benefits of being led. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open... I want you to see this. Two spirits are communing. Two spirits are talking. Two spirits are talking to themselves and say, hey, what do you have? This is what I have. What do you have? This is what I have. What do you have? This is what I have. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's Spirit and my Spirit. Can you picture? God's Spirit and my Spirit in open communion. Bible says two cannot walk together except they agree. Enoch walked with God. Picture. God's Spirit and my Spirit in open communion. God's Spirit and my Spirit in open communion. I'm not led by man. I'm not led by circumstances. I'm not led by pressure. I'm led by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit and my Spirit are in open communion. God's Spirit and my Spirit are in open communion. God's Spirit and my Spirit are in open communion. Let me read that part again. All right. It says, Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing. Wow. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing. And this access is real. Because the Holy Ghost lives in you and I, we have access to everything God is doing. But we need to now converse with the Spirit. That what I see not, you show me. What I know not, you teach me. And then pray in tongues. I'd ask the leaders to share. I want to believe it. You've seen it. There's a 5-minute video that Pastor Lan did. You know Pastor Lan. That was my pastor in Kingsword. You know, he's in Chicago. I did his 5-minute teaching on praying in tongues. All right? Beautiful 5-minute teaching on friends. I did it on Facebook. Yeah, I believe you saw it because I've asked them to send it out to you. And just watch that kind of video like 3, 4, 5 times. I personally remember the story of how Pastor Lan went to pray 20 hours and that influenced his teaching and pastoral ministry. Things going to happen in his life. I mean, there are people who have spent time praying and prayed the next seasons of their lives. I know you could sit down and just allow things plot out. You could sit down and scheme and calculate. And I know that. But when you understand that I'm but a pilgrim on this earth, My life is not my own. My life is not my own. I follow the leadings of the Spirit. I follow. Wherever it leads, I go. And then you pray things out. In that place of praying, you pray out business ideas and opportunities. And listen, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, has no sorrow. You pray out the perfect plan of God for your life. So God's Spirit and your Spirit in open communion, spiritually alive, you have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah asks questions. Is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what He is doing has been answered. Christ knows and we have Christ's Spirit. You and I have the Spirit of Christ, so you and I can say this is what God is doing. So, but if you can't say this is what God is doing all over the world, you should be able to say this is what God is doing in my life. I don't know what God is in your life. Hear from Him. Let Him lead you. The Holy Ghost is interested in leading you even in the minor details of life. In Luke chapter 10, we see again where Jesus gave a clear instruction to disciples. All right, maybe I'll just speak what? NLT. All right. Then the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places He planned to visit. These were the instructions He gave them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His field. He now said to them, now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you. No travelers, nor a traveler's bag, nor a pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. This is Jesus talking to them, all right? So don't stop to even greet anybody on the road. Now, so the fourth verse again, don't take any money with you, not traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. This is clear instruction. This is not even, I'm thinking, I'm guessing, I'm assuming, I'm supposing. This is clear. This is what the Lord said, right? It says, wherever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house, and if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand, and if they are not, the blessing will return. So there's a standing and returning of a blessing. All right, Jesus said so. All right, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking whatever they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be paid. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your own town from off our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your faith, and know this, that the kingdom of God is near. I mean, this is clear instruction. So none of these guys should get to a place and after staying in first, well, Jesus said we shouldn't go from house to house. Me, I want to go. I want another house. I want to stay another food. This one is always cooking beans. Let me give you clear instruction. This is not your will, your feeling. Clear. Now, if you are moving out and Jesus doesn't tell you that, hey, but they are just things you understand. So this is different from they put you in a hotel. You feel, I could get myself a better place. I want to get myself a better place. All right. But if Jesus tells you in a way, whatever they do there, just take it. But some of us are not even, that's what I'm saying. There's hearing from God, hearing yourself, then others. Others again, circumstance, finance, whatever it is. So who leads you? Who leads you? And Jesus are telling me, don't even stop to greet anybody on the road. Hey, don't, don't do that. Because He gave them an instruction here. So you and I have got to know when there's a clear instruction, and don't act like that younger prophet, the man of God. No, this is what God told me. I remember when God told me to move to Jabode, all right, from Lagos. I mean, people were concerned for me. Oh, why don't you go to Abuja? Why don't you go to Lagos? Well, I mean, stay in Lagos, start a church. Why don't you go to Ife, Abeokuta? I had at least people I recall as I'm preaching right now who said to me separately, if you start a church in Lagos right now, count me in. And I've had to jokingly say that these guys are not even in Nigeria. I mean, what I mean is when they said they were in Nigeria, but I'm not sure another 5 years met any of those two I recall right now in Nigeria. So I'd have made a destiny decision, right? Contrarily, outrightly disobeying something God reveals to me because of affinity, because of what now? It's not even comradeship in that. Just that, oh, I mean, one of them was, and she still is a very, very solid singer. So if you just have that, wow, you know, like, awesome. You know, like, hey, you know, I'll do it. Let's start. If I had staff in Lagos, I know a few people would have gathered. And then we'll gather. And then we'll gather. So right now, 14 years back, I don't know what would have happened to me or that ministry or those people. I cannot tell. But I would have been in disobedience. Wrong place. No matter what it was that we're doing. So you've got to understand, so why am I obeying God? Why am I honoring God? What's God telling you? I've not heard from God. If God's out there and say, He'll tell me yes and no. If you're in that deep, intimate relationship with Him, you know, don't forget what we read in 1 Corinthians 2, right? Spirit communicates with spirit, right? Our own spirit and God's own spirit in open communion. If you're in that depth, all right, you'll pick things. I shared a story a number of years ago about Kenneth Copeland. Listen, take note of these names, all right? Find these people, learn from them. You know, Kenneth Copeland, right? He had this place. He always went on vacation with his wife. And then someone would come to them who stayed there and like, hey, real estate here is really going now. I think it's a good time to cash in, buy some property so that when it goes up, you know, you make off money off it. And Copeland said, yeah, all right. I think what happened following year, and person said, I know you're a man of your word. Tell me you're going to pray about it. I know if you do that, you will pray. Said, okay, I'll pray about it. So Copeland got back home and said, well, Lord, I made a promise I'm going to pray about it. So here's the prayer. All right, Lord, you know, it just was a mountain of prayer. Like, well, Lord, I told him I'll pray. So, are you by any chance interested in me, you know, getting property over there? And his answer, was just expecting God to just say, well, no, so let's move on. He said, God says, why didn't you tell me? God said, he never asked. All right, and when I hear those kinds of teachings, it lets me know you could be focused on certain things and miss something. You could. I mean, Ken Hagin pastored for 12 years. And then God said, I never called you to pastor to begin with. But yes, God allowed him to pastor. But what? So that means if he had taken out time to ask. And the moment God said he wasn't called to pastor, he didn't even say, okay, what did you come to do? He jumped into the evangelistic ministry. Don't we all do that? And then you grow. So when you listen to these kinds of teachings, don't just listen to how to make money. Don't just listen to how to get married or find a spouse. Don't just listen to all of that. Please hear me completely. Don't just listen to that and not hear how to be led. Bring it all together. Many have died on business trips. Preachers even have died flying, you know, to go preach in a place. I remember Bishop Keith Butler shared this last year when it came to, you know, Covenant Christian Center, how that he had gone preach in a place and then they were going to fly back home. And the Lord said to him, don't take that flight back home. All right, go this way. All right, you know, I mean, he's from Detroit, Michigan, so maybe the Lord said go to New York or something first. And then I think there were about five or so on their team, and then he said, well, this is what the Lord said, so we're not flying back on that plane to Michigan or going to, you know, New York. I'm assuming it was New York, just, you know, to fill in that blank. And then two of his leaders, you know, key guys, pastors too, were like, no, well, the agreement was when we're done from here, we're going back home. So we need to go back home. Ready? We're going back home. Okay, but the Lord said it. And then you need to be sensitive because sometimes you say, well, the Lord didn't tell me, he told you. But there's a time when the Lord speaks to one, but he spoke to all. Like, if you remember, Paul has a team in Acts 16. He tried going one place, all right, the Holy Ghost said no. Somewhere else, Holy Ghost said no. Sleeping at night, come to Macedonia. And then if you notice how the Bible reads, it says, we concluded that the Lord was calling us there. You guys say, well, Paul, God called you, you go. You go, not me. No, but God knew that was a team. So it might be same in this case where the Lord said, hey, don't go that way, go back this way. Anyway, they landed where he was going, maybe New York now, like I've had to just use to fill in the blank. And then his phone rings, and then he gets the call that the other plane crashed. So those other two preachers were dead. Oh, those kinds of news, they are heart-wrenching. Two people you just saw right now. Not like people like you saw like 5 weeks ago, like 3 months ago, 10 years ago. Just like saw now, say goodbye now. Okay, we're going, so okay, we go this way, and then we'll see our home, right? We'll see our church office or something, and then that's the end. Andrew Womack, if you've listened to some of his teachings, he talked about a particular invitation. He had received the invitation. But the more the date got closer, he kept feeling horrible. Horrible. Like, don't go. He said it didn't increase. He even took out time to pray about it. He knew, I'm not going. All right, and he had preached there before. They had arranged, and he was going. He wasn't planning to go with his pastor. So he had to cancel the meeting, instead of people got mad at him. I mean, naturally they would, right? But you need to choose whose side of anger you want to be on. God or man, if you understand what I'm saying. Now, I know God's angry, but you don't want to be in that angle of displeasing him or missing his leading because you want to please men. Always remember that was the error of King Saul. Always remember, he placed men above supernatural instructions. Please always remember that. He placed how people will feel. Now, some will hear that again and say, I cannot place how people feel against how I feel. I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm not disregarding how you feel, but I'm not teaching you how to be led by how you feel. I'm talking about how to be led by God. So I'm saying even how you feel is secondary. Please understand this. Please understand this. Please. Let me digress a bit. I'll come back there. Now, you know, sometimes tell people, if it feels good, do it. Sometimes that's one of the most crazy the instructions you could give people. Because sin, for instance, is sweet. James 1 says, every man is tempted of his own lust when he's drawn and enticed. Sin is enticing. So you say, if it feels good, do it. Many bad things feel good. So that's why we're not talking about how to be led by your feelings. Haven't you ever wanted to fast and felt like eating? If we're led by feeling, then we'll keep eating, we'll never fast, we'll never pray, we'll never do whatever we want to do. Because the body doesn't really want to go through that stuff. We're talking about how to be led by the Spirit of God. So please don't come up with, well, if it feels good, because like it happened again, maybe in the case of the young man, just maybe, 1 minute you're heavy on, I'm not supposed to do that. Then you're now influenced by, there's nothing wrong, nothing wrong. And then it just weakens your defense system. And then suddenly, just feel, I don't feel bad about it anymore. It's not because God changed his mind, because you used your soul to override the Spirit's instruction. That's all that happened. Please watch how this thing works for you and you see what I'm saying. So back to the Andrew Womack story. So they got mad at him. Like, he said they cut off from him. They even stopped discussing with him. I mean, they cut off. Like, but guess what? Meeting came, plane crashed. All passengers on that flight died. Everybody. So Andrew Womack could have been dead. RIP, like many people get to use. Way back. All because he had to ignore or override the leading of the Spirit. Oh, come on, guys. How else do we want to help ourselves this season? We need to allow ourselves to be led. Allow ourselves to get into the flow or whatever it is the Holy Ghost is saying. In Acts chapter 27, we see Paul on his way to Rome. And then right there, Paul begins to perceive this journey is not going to be right. This journey is going to be... There's something funny about this journey. Alright, but I'll skip that. We'll deal with it next service. Alright, or maybe we'll deal with word. And then maybe next time we'll still talk a bit more about being led. Would that be nice for you? Alright, already, yes, it's August. We need to start talking about how to enter God's word more. Yes. We'll deal with that. Maybe Wednesday. And then push. We need to deal with this still. You've got to be led. Kenneth Copeland bought property. He wasn't planning to buy. They found oil on it. Jezebel bought property and then the government had to pass oil and maybe they found oil too. I mean, God can lead you. He could take your 2 naira and help you make it 200,000 naira. How? He knows. Isaiah 48:17. He said, I, the Lord, will teach you to profit. I will lead you in the way you should go. Many times want to be ahead of him. He said, he will lead you. Listen, when God tells you, I will make your name great, he knows what he's saying. He's done that to many people before you showed up on the scene. You can't do it by yourself. You will burn energy, time, money, relationships. I still find that you still come back again and line up and say, okay, God, oh yeah, let's go. Why don't we start that right now? And just say, Lord, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. You are the shepherd. I am the sheep. I follow your leading. I follow your instructions. I'm learning more and more, Lord. The advantages and the benefits of being led by your Spirit. I'm open to your leading. Just go ahead, honor him right now. I'm open to your leading. I am your sheep. You are my shepherd. I follow you. I am your sheep. You are my shepherd. I follow you. I am your sheep. You are my shepherd. I follow you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside the still waters. You restore. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You renew, refresh, restore. Yes, you do. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Yes. Thank you for the presence, manifest presence of your Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord, over that heart, over that life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. We give praise to you. Yes, because you refresh, you renew, you restore. Yes, you do. You refresh, you renew, you restore. Here we are, Lord. You are shepherd, we are sheep. You know where the green pastures are. You know where the still waters are. We follow you. We don't follow our heads. We don't follow money. We don't follow flesh. We follow you. We don't follow people. We don't follow pressure. We follow you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You want to pray in tongues a bit? Ke fra no sofiska ba prado godoso. Mande ki zavrodondo vedos mrene ki da bate abatse. Meni apo sofrodo su sofre ninde kodo podo kedesi. Ebosa, ebosa, basa. Aziza, bosa tiamon da harabate diskebo parakadasi. Monto sofre do sofrondo huro kede hida. Ila bonso, vempredege, you restore. Yes, pray in tongues, somebody. You restore, you refresh, you renew, you restore, you refresh, you renew, you restore, you refresh, you renew. We follow your leading. And we know you lead us from victory to victory, from breakthrough to breakthrough, from blessing to blessing, from abundance to abundance, because these are all already provided for us in Christ Jesus. So thank you because you lead us. Thank you because you guide us. Hallelujah. Thank you. We follow you along that best pathway. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So please, thank you, Lord. Don't forget that this, you know, right after now, the leaders will get across Ken Hagin's message to us, how to train your human spirit. Please, 1 week, let's digest it. In this 1 week, immediately, quickly, digest so much quickly. And if you digest really fast and you want more, talk to your leaders about it. I would like to know. Or if you guys are asking for more, can we give more? And then, I mean, those of you that want more, we'll get more so that we don't move everybody at the same pace, all right? But everybody could do one in a week if you want, like 3, 4, 5. Kindly reach out to your leaders, all right? Let them just, okay, this person like once more. Because some of these messages, they come out of a series, actually. That whole one we've all heard for 2 weeks is from a series of 4 messages. 4. And we all spent, And this one, again, is coming from a series, a complete series. This is how training human spirit is coming from a series. And the one I'm going to give out again next week is coming from a series. So it's series. I'm just picking one. All right. So if you want, no, sir, give me everything. 4, 5, 3, whatever it is. Let me have it. Yeah. So the other one, it's a series of 4, but I'll make 3 available for those that might need it. The 4th one can again talk for maybe just about 10 minutes. Beautiful stuff anyway. Then the woman, you know, preached for maybe like another 20 minutes or something. So I think that was short, like 30 something minutes of recording. All right, but hey, I could give you everything. Just, you get blessed anyway. So, praise God. 5 p.m. this evening, please don't forget the influence of the Spirit. Please, please, spread the news. The more people that listen to this thing, they will be blessed. All right? Spread the news. Let more and more people come. Let more and more people get blessed. 5 p.m. this evening. All right? And if you're given, account details are showing up on the screen. Please, we give. All right? We're givers. And what we do is, whether convenient or not, we just honor God. And please, no pressures. I love something Peter said to Ananias. If you remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Peter said to Ananias, before you sold that property, it was yours. And after you sold it, the money was yours. So you didn't have to come here and lie and say that this was the amount when it wasn't. It's yours. So same way, really, all right, whatever you have is yours. Whatever you decide to give from it. All right? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, Alright? Every man should propose in his heart what he wants to give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. So, but you've got to give. Paul also said in that same 2 Corinthians 9, if you sow sparingly, he said you need to know this. If you sow sparingly, that's chinchining. You reap sparingly, chinchining. If you sow bountifully, nyafu nyafu. Then you reap also bountifully, nyafu nyafu. So, it's you, alright? That's okay. I want to be a generous giver. I see myself as a conduit of God's finances. As myself, I will not be in a place and then I'm not a radical giver. Alright? You have to make up your mind. I'm a radical giver, radical supporter of the ministry that God planted me and of the people around me. Alright? And the places where I'm fed spiritually, I will make sure. It's only just that. That's all. And then because we are in front of you, ministering God's word to you, hey, act on the word of God by giving. Is that simple? Alright. So Father, we honor you today. And we thank you. Thank you for your word that consistently nourishes us. Thank you for the impartation of your spirit that we always enjoy when we get together in the corporate fellowship and even on a daily basis. We thank you, Father. Thank you because this new week, this new month of August is filled with amazing, amazing accomplishments and supernatural achievements. Thank you because the supernatural is our new normal. Hearing from you is our new normal. Thank you, therefore, because we'll be filled with revelation. Alright? Revelation, Father. Revelation. Revelation of who you are to us, who we are in you. And our eyes will be flooded with the importance of hearing from you. And then we'll be energized much more. Much more. Much more. Much more. And we hear from you this season. Oh, that August is that month of the exceeding supernatural. The supernatural. That increase in the supernatural. Great flow in the supernatural. This month of August, that would not be the same again. Oh, there will be increase. There will be progress. We'll move from victory to victory. Yes, victory to victory in the name of Jesus. All right. Thank you for tuning in to church. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And if you haven't, you could still share. Have a very, 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 very beautiful week. See you 5 p.m. Bless
you. I remember all you've done for me. Yeah. Your perfect sacrifice is a victory won, Lord. Yeah. I remember all for me. Oh Lord, I worship you today. I worship you. Come on, somebody, go ahead and worship your Father. Worship your Father with your own words. Oh, my nation. With the lifting of our hands, Father, we worship. Woo! Woo! Nothing else we can do but worship. Of your hands be like an evening sacrifice. It is acceptable before him. Lift your hands and worship the Father.